Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till it's over. Over there. Johnny Doughboy, tried and true, and all you lads in the Navy blue, and men of the Coast Guard's leathernecks, too. It's Command Performance just for you, with plenty of famous stars to hitch your wagon to. Well, I better say famous and lovely and gorgeous, and your number one choice for mistress of ceremonies tonight, Loretta Young.
Thank you, Paul Douglas. And greetings to America's most popular leading men. You men in the uniforms of Uncle Sam's armed forces. In the language of Hollywood, Uncle Sam has proved that he's a mighty fine casting director himself. Because the whole world's been hearing of your smashing performances on land, on sea, and in the air. You're number one on the battlefield, and you're number one on the personal hit parade of each and every one of us here in Hollywood. But now let's start your big show. Here's a first-class letter from three privates, first class. JSC, DH, and HD, with a medical detachment at APO 954.
Dear Command Performance, we all hear our program every week and we say it's tops. But so is a certain little gal who lost a certain little yellow basket, remember? We sure wish you could find that little gal and have her ship us a red-hot load of that song she made famous.
Found at the Orpheum Theater in Los Angeles, the little girl who lost the famous Little Yellow Basket, the one and only a Tisket-a-Tasket girl, Miss Ella Fitzgerald.
A Tisket-a-Tasket, a brown and yellow basket. I send a letter to my mummy. On the way I dropped it, I dropped it, I dropped it. Yes, on the way I dropped it. A little girlie picked it up and put it in her pocket. She was trucking on down the avenue with not a single thing to do. She went a-peck-a-peck-a-pecking all around. When she spied it on the ground, she took it, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die. Tisket, a tasket, I lost my yellow basket. And if that girlie don't return it, don't know what I'll do. Oh, gee, I wonder where my basket can be. Oh, dear, I wish that little girl I could see. Oh, why was I so careless with that basket of mine? That itty bitty basket was the joy of mine.
Tisket, tasket, I lost my yellow basket. Won't someone help me find my basket and make me happy again, again? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No! No, just a little yellow basket. A little yellow basket.
Oh, thank you, Ella Fitzgerald. And thanks to Charles Previn of Universal Studios conducting Local 47's Command Performance Orchestra tonight. The Command Performance mailbag is filled with your requests for a few words of advice and good cheer, direct from that fabulous health resort, Crestfallen Manor. We take you to the Crestfallen Manor now, where we find Simmons, the desk clerk, talking to the famous manager and wacky health instructor, Ransom Sherman.
And good morning, Simmons.
Good morning, Mr. Sherman.
And how are you this bright, sunny, cheery?
I can't, Kirk.
Rheumatism, huh? Well, Simmons, time's a-wasting. Are the guests ready for my lecture on health?
Yes, sir. They're all in the gymnasium. Just up in here.
Thank you all. All right, break it up, break it up. Now, friends, I might say dear friends, I'm going to talk to you today on the subject of health. Let me spell that for you. I dare broach this intimate subject because as I look out upon your faces, the thought comes to me that I am one of you. It's a pretty disgusting thought. Now, to proceed.
Tell them about health.
Please, Simmons. I will now tell you about health. There are two kinds of health, and I will name them for you. Good health and bad health.
Any fool knows that.
So do I. In conjunction with good and bad health, there is nothing more important than breathing. So don't forget to breath. Breathe. Now, furthermore.
Tell them about exercise,
please,
Mr. Sherman.
Simmons. I will now tell you about exercise.
Mr. Sherman, what form of exercise would you suggest for me?
Well, Mrs. Broadbason, you certainly are. I would suggest something hardy. My advice to you is to get out on the road every morning and run 15 miles.
Oh, but that would kill me.
Well, if it does, cut it down to 10 miles.
Tell him about diet, Mr. Sherman.
Oh, please, Simmons. That brings up the subject of diet. Now, you must all watch your diet. One of the most important things you must eat is food. Now, as to breakfast and the best breakfast food...
Which one do you eat?
Thank you. I do have trouble making up my mind which breakfast food to eat. I can never decide whether I want to be a baseball player, an all-American boy, or a junior G-man. Now, I would like to tell you about a special week that I created.
Tell them about the special week you created.
Oh, please, Simmons. I originated the special week many years ago. Now, I know you've all heard of Cranberry Week. Let's all have more cranberries. National Fish Week. Let's all have more fish. National Chicken Week. Let's all have more chickens. National Baby Week. Oh, I could go on for hours. But, folks, the time has come to talk about nature's greatest remedy. An elixir, if you want to call it that, the world's very greatest.
Tell them what it's good for, Mr.
Get out of here, Simmons. You bother me. Now, friends, do you suffer from lack of appetite after a big meal? Do you have that tired, dragged-out feeling after a six-hour leave? Do you wake up in the morning with a bad taste in your mouth, fur on the tongue, and big bags under your eyes? So do I. But never mind now. Friends, because the answer to your trouble is contained in this little bottle I hold in my hand here, the famous Les Nores Morphles Elixir of Marsburn. So hurry, hurry, hurry.
What ingredients are in Les Nores Morphles Elixir of Marsburn?
You had a hell of a time with that, didn't you? No ingredients at all, babe. Just pure elixir and a mild extract of Mrs. Les Nores Morphles' favorite meatballs. Make a paste of it for the shoes. Rub it on and they won't pinch. You won't have any pain. You won't have any corns. You won't have any shoes. Also excellent for the teeth. Rub it into the gums and it'll grow a new set of teeth in no time at all. All right, hurry, hurry, hurry.
Hey, is it any good?
You can just bet your life it is, neighbor. All right, now, as a special introductory offer, I'm authorized by the Les Nores Morphles Corporation, makers of Les Nores Morphles Elixir of Marsburn, to sell you this bottle, not for $1, not for 50 cents, and not for 15 cents. No, sir. The price of this bottle is a lousy $3.50. All right. With each and every, quiet, please, with each and every bottle of Les Nores Morphles Elixir of Marsburn, purchased at this introductory price, you get it, no added cost, prizes, ranging in value from genuine Navajo wool-type blankets, ladies' lingerie, a gold-type cigarette case, and 2 cubes of genuine sugar. All right, hurry, hurry, all right, sir. Who's going to be the first to try this famous elixir?
Yeah, I'll try it, mister.
All right, good for you. Step up here, chum. Drink it down, show the folks how good it is.
Okay. Oh, my mouth, my stomach, my gooms.
All right, now, in my left hand, folks, you see a bottle of Sawalish Oil of Zelenka, the one and only sure cure for Les Nores Morphles Elixir of Marsburn. All right, boys, circulate among the crowd, call out if you want it.
Thank you, Ransom Sherman. Command Performance gets a great many letters requesting the return appearance of one of our country's great concert pianists. And so, for you men down there in Puerto Rico, for Technical Sergeant R.G.W., and for all of you everywhere, we're proud to present the melodic portion of George Gershwin's Concerto in F. Charles Previn conducting, and at the concert grand, your favorite artist, Oscar Levant. Answer a request from 9 sailors somewhere in the North Atlantic. who call themselves the Dodgers. They've been away from Brooklyn for a long time, and they miss the big shows. Shows that went by such names as Yoko Boy and Panama Hattie. But, they say, get those terrific guys, Phil Silvers and Rags Ragland, and there'll be a bit of old Broadway in the high seas. Well, men, orders are orders here on Command Performance, so here they are. Phil Silvers and Rags Ragland.
I beg your pardon, Miss Young.
Yes, Rags.
Do you know where Flugel Street is?
Flugel Street?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't, Rags. But you might ask that gentleman coming toward us.
Well, thank you, I will. Thank you, Miss Young. I beg your pardon.
You what?
I say I beg your pardon.
Beg my pardon?
Yeah.
What, am I the governor to give people's pardons? What do you mean, pardon? Do I know you? Do you know me? Are you in the habit of stopping strange people on the street and say, I beg your pardon? What do you want? What? What is it? What?
Well, you give me a chance to ask you, see. Do you know where Flugel Street is?
Do I know where Flugel Street is? What, am I just walking around suffering from amnesia? I know more about Flugel Street than perhaps you'll ever know. My whole family comes from Flugel Street. My brother was one of the finest baseball players ever walked out of Flugel Street.
Well, I don't know your brother.
Oh, my brother's a bum, huh? A brother ain't good enough for you. You're a big man. Well, I'll make some cracks about my family. Go on, tell me my father didn't deserve that parole. I like that kind of humor.
You don't understand. Look, I have a letter here.
Well, go over and mail it, kid. Mail the letter. There's mailboxes on every corner of America. Neither rain nor snow nor sleet will stop these couriers from it. Don't stop people that I beg your pardon. Yatta-ta-yatta.
You don't know. Look, the letter don't belong to me.
Oh, you're tampering with the U.S. mails, huh? Fine, it's a federal offense. You know what they do to you for that? They don't put you in a cell. They put the jail on top of you, kid. Go on.
Oh, forget the letter. I'll throw it away.
Oh, that's great. Go on, litter up the streets. This happened to be Clean Up the City Week. Means nothing to you. You know what can happen to that piece of paper? Fellow may be smoking a cigarette, walking along the street. He throws his lit match on the floor, ignites that paper, and starts to burn. The wind blows that burning paper into a building, setting that building on fire. The first building sets a second building on fire. The second... Oh, you're a firebug, huh?
Look, I'll pick the letter up and put it in my pocket.
Oh, reaching for a gun, huh?
I don't carry a gun.
No, a gun makes so much noise for you. What, you got a knife? You want to stab me? Go on, kid.
Listen. Now, look here.
Oh, great. Go ahead. Point your finger at me. Poke out my eyes. Go on, make me blind so I'll have to sell pencils on a streetcar.
I don't want you to sell pencils.
Oh, thanks a lot. First you make me blind, then you deprive me of the way of making a living, huh? Oh, don't bother. What do you want on Flugel Street?
Well, I got to deliver this box of straw hats to the Boskudniak Hat Company.
Well, that's... Boskudniak Hat Company?
Yeah.
The Boskudniak Hat Company. Don't tell me you work for the Boskudniak Hat Company.
I'm a salesman.
Well, you ought to be ashamed to admit it. Those dirty non-union heels. Those filthy sweats. You know who works in the Boskudniak Hat Company? Little girls with little curls. And the blood rushes out of their fingernails. Working 18 or 19 hours a day in that foul-smelling, dim-lit Paskudnak. One little girl I know, Rebecca Castleton, works there 19 hours a day. Then she walks all the way home. She can't afford a streetcar. And her mother's waiting for her. And she climbs up. And she says, is that a Paskudnak hat you're wearing?
Yeah, that's a $5 special.
Why should I give you $5 for the hat? You got a license to sell hats?
No.
No. But this hat sells all over America, paying huge rentals. You walk around with Auntie off. Let me look at that hat. This is laughable. There's no stability here. Can you take a good hat? Can you take an ordinary hat and do that to it? Look at this leather. You call that leather? That's imitation leather. Show me a good piece of leather you can do that to. Well, this is the most laughable I've never seen. Here's a matzah for you. Look at this hat. It's the most ridiculous thing. I'll put it by... It don't even look good on you.
No stability. Well, I still got another hat. I'll just reach the box and get another one.
Oh, reaching for a machine gun, huh? Go on, shoot it out, kid.
I don't have a machine gun.
Oh, don't kid me, brother. I know a desperate character. You got a machine gun in there.
Look, I raise my right hand and swear.
You raise your right hand?
Yeah.
Oh, a Nazi.
Oh, what the hell is that?
Phil Silvers and Rags Ragland. And now, fellas, a very special young lady from Texas to answer thousands of your requests. America's favorite songstress and a favorite wherever Uncle Sam's boys are stationed. Miss Dinah Shore.
Tell me where my love can be. Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring where my heart can go a journeying? Over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane, and in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music of the night? Wonderful music, faint as a will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenading the moon. Oh, Skylark, I don't know if you can find these things, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me there?
Dinah, that was beautiful. Thank you. And now for a letter from North Ireland. Dear Command Performance, I used to work for a New York firm that calls up radio listeners to see what they'd like to listen to. But I had to go clear to North Ireland before anybody asked me what I'd like to hear. Thanks to Command Performance for arranging this. And speaking for the gang, we want to hear some good old city noises. And that calls for that terrific expert of the imitation, Reggie Gardner. Signed, Private S.J.L. Well, boys, here he is, Reggie Gardner.
Well, boys, when any one of you has been sick and you're lying in bed, you look around your bedroom, and you notice all kinds of objects that you've probably lived with all your life, but just because you're sick, they all assume terrifying and jeering shapes. For instance, you've probably got a flowered border around the top of your wallpaper, roses or something like that in a particular pattern, and if you look at the pattern long enough, you'll find that it makes a noise, something like this. All around the top of the wall. Well, if you look at it long enough, you'll find one bit just over there that goes, and you don't know why. Now, that'll give you some idea of why I think all inanimate objects are actually alive. Now, the most alive thing I think I've ever seen is a railroad locomotive. Not only is it alive, but it's furious. It loathes humanity. And the only man who isn't afraid of it, I've never been able to understand why, is the engineer, who when he gets the signal to go, he catches hold of a handle, pulls it down, and this furious beast is unleashed. Like this. And so forth on its journey. Well, now that we've unleashed this furious thing, we find it still equally mad, and it has a colossal argument with the tracks it's running on. Like this. Giddle-a-daw, ball-a-daw, giddle-a-dee, biddle-a-daw, ball-a-daw, giddle-a-dee, biddle-a-daw, ball-a-daw, giddle-a-dee, biddle-a-daw, ball-a-daw. That goes on the entire journey. And not only does it have a colossal argument with the tracks it's running on, but also all the other tracks when they dare to cross its own. Like this. Giddle-a-daw, ball-a-daw, giddle-a-dee, biddle-a-dee, biddle-a-dee, so on. You needn't really worry about me. The whole of my family died in an insane asylum. Now, of course, the engine has all kinds of machinery of all different sorts. For instance, there's a kind of shaft thing at the side that goes backwards and forwards like this. And at the end of that, there's a little tiny bit of steel. I rather like him. He's the kind of Jiminy Cricket of the whole setup. And he bobs up and down all out of time. He's really rather a nice fellow just at the end of... And he always manages to miss Gibbon. And I think it's so clever of him. He really... So the whole thing goes like this. Gibbon. And he just goes, Schenectady, Schenectady, Schenectady. Very nice. You take it in the right way. Well, now, by way of ending up this bit of nonsense, I'd like to tell you the one thing that a train loathes more than anything else, and that is another train coming in the opposite direction, that it cannot take at all. You've probably settled down quite calmly in your seat in the train, having got used to skiddle-a-daw, ball-a-daw, giddle-a-dee, bull-a-daw, ball-a-daw, all the other horrid noises, when suddenly, to your amazement, this new thing, this train coming in the opposite direction, bursts upon you and nearly knocks you on the floor. It's the most frightening thing in the world, and it goes like this. Skiddle-a-daw, ball-a-daw, giddle-a-dee, biddle-a-daw, ball-a-daw, pull-a-daw, giddle-a-dee, biddle-a-daw. It's very silly. That's all there is.
Fellas, as the boy on the mine planter said, it's time to set this one out. But from the bottom of our hearts, we want to say thanks for this half hour with you stout-hearted fighting men of Uncle Sam. We spoke of you as being number one on the personal hip parade of each and every one of us over here in the USA. You keep on remembering that, won't you? And remember, too, that Command Performance is the hit parade of American entertainers who are going all out for you. And we'll keep on remembering that you fellas in those bombers have a hit parade, too. And that numbers 1, 2, and 3 on that parade are Germany, Japan, and Italy. Good night, boys, and God bless you.
Okay there, buddy, that's it for now, but keep on shooting in those requests and we'll answer them as fast as we can. Send your letters to the station to which you're listening and mark them Command Performance. Command Performance, the great international jukebox that has all the entertainment but requires none of your nickels. Till we shortwave at you next week, then, we'll be seeing you after you've seen the last of the Axis.